Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
I got to set this up. Kane and I were talking about this on break, and I thought this was a joke. I thought that this was some kind of like very good satire. I could not. I'm unfamiliar with this particular Australian elected official. And so as a result, I was able to more easily believe that this could not be real. But the more that I went and looked at it and I looked this guy up and I was reading this, this is an actual real thing. I have to tell you, in all of my years in broadcasting, this is probably, and I say this, oh, it's so bad. It's like a Monty Python skit, but it's real. It is one of the most racist things I've ever watched in my broadcast career. It is legit, like, it's like a bad Fawlty Towers episode or something. I don't know, man. It is super Monty Python. I didn't know that I could speak Australian Aboriginal language. Did you know that you could? We are fluent.
I was yesterday's year old when I discovered that.
So Mark McGowan is an elected official in Australia, right? And he decided they're making all of these videos and trying to get people vaccinated and all this stuff. And so it's the craziest thing ever. He says that he did this thing with this Aboriginal woman in Australia. And he accused whites. He says white supremacists are spreading. I'm reading from Australia's news. The Premier, Mark McGowan, says that United States-based white supremacists are spreading misinformation and scaring Aboriginal communities in Western Australia. Okay? This is what he says. He says there's been some misinformation provided to Aboriginal people from people who do not have their best interests at heart. And he accused American white supremacists of doing it, right? So he decided to retain the help of an Aboriginal woman, and the goal was for him to speak in her language and translate what he was saying, basically to translate English into English. I don't know how else to say this. It is the most racist thing I have ever seen. He has this indigenous elder translate what he's saying from English to what he says is Aboriginal English. And I guess that Western Australia, that's where he's the premier, I guess that he thinks that Aboriginal people only understand what is being said if another Aboriginal person breaks it up and speaks it. I don't know. I need you to, okay, we're going to play this.
It's important to note too for people, because we're not.
It's a real video.
But she's uncomfortable.
It looks like a hostage video. She's standing right next to him, and her expression is straight up whiskey tango foxtrot. Listen to this. This is insane, and it's real.
Message to keep Aboriginal people safe.
And this message, a proper important one. To keep everybody safe one.
You can die from the corona or get really sick.
You will again pass away from this corona, or you will again get really sick one.
It's time to get the corona needle to keep people and country strong.
Again, it's time to get them this needle, bring a corona, to keep them, but all the people and country proper strong one.
The corona needle will protect kids, old people, men and women.
Well, the young corona needle, gotta keep them mellow safe one for all the kids and for all the men and women.
Many people around the world have already had the needle.
Big mob people all around the world been already getting but their needle.
It is free and it's safe.
Dijan, that needle black corona, he free one and he safe one.
If you're worried, talk to your clinic or medical center or go to Roll Up for WA on the internet.
If you're worrying about, talk like yours one clinic or go to a hospital place or go to get himself Roll Up. Longer internet.
So get your needle now and stay strong. Thank you.
So you will gotta get him that needle and stay proper strong one. And thank you.
It's amazing that they say thank you like the Australians say thank you. I am so uncomfortable because of this dude. Can you imagine being Mark McGowan and thinking that the English-speaking Indigenous Australians can't understand English when they speak it?
Right.
I mean, what? I did not know that I was fluent in Aboriginal English. Hell, I'm bilingual. Actually, kind of trilingual, really. Who knew? Kane, when did you become fluent in Aboriginal English?
I found out yesterday when I saw this, and I said, wow. Because it's, if you were to break it down, it's like 10% pidgin English.
Not even that.
It's a little bit that. It's 80% regular English, and then 10%, you know, Aboriginal.
I mean, hell, I got family in Southern Missouri that I could say they speak pidgin English. I mean... Yins, what the hell is that?
Like when he says many, then she says big. That's kind of a pidgin English thing. But that's, I was astounded.
No, it's not. I disagree with that. Big money? That means lots of money.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But no, I get what you're saying. But what I'm saying, part of pidgin English is to break it down like that basic. When you're saying many or
it's,
a lot,
but it's
and
not,
you say
it's
big
not English.
And describe
though.
It as big.
It's like slang.
That's pidgin English.
Like you go
right.
down, you go down. So like apparently Pittsburgh people say this and Southern Missouri people say yins, which is a variation of y'all, right? So like in Texas, you have y'all and all y'all, which is like you and then all of you. And then in Southern Missouri, my family would say yins, like when yins coming over for dinner. What Jin's doing. And whenever you would end with a vowel, it's basically like what Jin's doing is like whatcha apostrophe INS. Although, wait, you're taking, yeah, technically, because the Y is a vowel, so you technically could use an apostrophe to replace it there. Right. You gotta like bend some of the grammatical rules.
Right.
So, you know, when Jin's all coming over, why don't y'all take a stroll up the holler? Things like that.
Up the holler.
Up the holler.
The hell's that?
A road.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Wanchins all go take a walk up the holler. Or Wanchins all y'all's kids better be careful playing in that creek.
Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah, yeah, it's a creek. That yeah. means you kids better be careful playing in the creek.
Right.
So it's like the same. It would be like that. I mean, it would be like someone saying...
I felt bad after laughing at it. When I first saw it, I was laughing hysterically, thinking this was not real, and it was a skit
of some
sort. But it was totally real. Then I felt really bad for laughing at it.
I didn't laugh at it. I was like...
You totally laughed at it. Don't lie.
No, I still am doing the exact reaction that I gave when I watched it. At first, I watched this, and I was like, this is so... Because I saw it, I literally saw it on Twitter, or no, not Twitter, sorry. I saw it on Facebook, someone posted it, and they just said, without comment. And that's all that described the video. I had nothing else to go on at that point when I first saw it. It was just the video. I didn't know who was in it. I didn't know what was going on. And my first thought was, this Australian man is holding this Indigenous woman hostage. What the hell is going on? And then I thought, is this like some kind of Kath and Kim skit? Like, which is an Australian, I'm like, it, I thought it was some sort of Australian Monty Python. So then I started looking Australian man, because I was trying to stay off Twitter after a certain hour. Then I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a real thing. Then I saw Mark McGowan was trending. Holy wow. This is the guy who was accusing white supremacists in the United States of spreading misinformation to Australia's Aboriginal communities. I'm so happy now that the left in Australia finally cares about their Aboriginal communities. but, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
But how insulting is it if you're Aboriginal and you clearly can understand English? It's not that you can't understand English. And then this guy comes on national television in Australia and does this with a very uncomfortable...
He, like, infantilized her.
She's a very uncomfortable Aboriginal woman.
I think she hates him.
She did not... If she had a shiv,
he'd be on the floor, man.
She knew that this was a bad idea.
Dude, she did. You're looking at her face, and she...
She's like,
I can tell that she went and talked about this man.
Pretty much just repeating what you're saying in English, 90%.
I totally want to get a drink with this lady and talk smack about this guy.
Right.
I totally do. Because, I mean, I'm recognizing that look, and I'm like, oh... She got that look on her face. He is a moron. She hates him and he didn't even know it.
Yeah. She looks like...
He looks like one of the dumbest men alive.
She's held hostage.
I hate his hair. When your head's that wide, you can't do a little bitty sprig on the top of your head like that, dude.
Yeah.
That's an aside. That might be petty, and that's my problem.
I hate his politics and lack of science.
I hate his racism.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is that dumb.
That too.
I mean, he literally said people can pass away, or he goes, people can die from corona. And she's like, well, I guess I'll just rephrase what he said in a different way. People can pass away from corona. I mean, heaven forbid to think that Aboriginal people wouldn't have, they don't know the word die. I mean, this is like some... Hillary Baldwin stuff. How you say cucumber? I mean, dude. We should do this with everything, right? We should have Mark McGowan and then like have maybe get one of my kin. Be like, yeah, y'all gonna die if you ain't all getting this shot. just saying. I can't believe this is my job. Oh my gosh.
Literally have tears. Tears.
Oh man. Guys, I don't know. Steve, you got any?
What do you want to do?
Steve's like, what? I can't speak it.
I mean, I know Yinzer and I know use, but and I also
yeah, that's Northeast. Use. That's Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Pittsburgh thing. Somebody tell me why Pittsburgh says yins and then no one else except people in Southern Missouri say yins. I don't understand.
It's a much different type of yins.
What does it mean in Pittsburgh?
Well, yins, like the vowels are so round where it's like more Southern in Missouri, like down there and out there and off there, all that stuff. That's all Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. We don't say that. Oh, my gosh.
We'll have to have Steve do it then for us.
Oh my gosh! I'm sorry.
His southern accent.
My eyes are watering.
I'm.
This guy. I just can't even. If nobody does a skit on this, I hope we get hit by an asteroid, and I hope we get hit and the planet explodes into chunks. If no one does a skit on this, because it is a waste of humanity to not make fun of this guy. This guy exists for that purpose. Oh man, this is dystopian absurdity. Brought to you by Australian Western Australian Premier Mark McGowan. Oh man, God love the woman who sat there and just did this and didn't cut him. Good grief. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Okay, so the Red Cross has declared its first national blood crisis. This is some vampire stuff. This is a crazy story. The Red Cross, the first time ever, has declared a national blood crisis. They emailed a statement out yesterday in which they said that the organization was warning members of the public the consequences of this blood shortage, worst in more than a decade. They said doctors will be forced to make difficult decisions about which patients receive blood transfusions over others. They said they had less than a one-day supply of critical blood types, and they've had to already limit their distributions to hospitals. They said at times, as much as a quarter of hospital blood needs are not being met. They said that throughout the pandemic, they've seen a 10% decline overall in the number of people donating blood, in addition to ongoing blood drive cancellations and staffing limitations. So the Red Cross is asking people to make an appointment to make some blood donations, as blood and platelet donations are critically needed to help prevent further delays in vital medical treatments. That's one of the consequences of having everything shut down, unfortunately. New Orleans has reinstated their indoor mask mandate ahead of Mardi Gras. I'm sure that's going to do a whole hell of a lot of good, except it won't, because the top vaccinated states, the states that have surges with the virus, are also the states that had the highest levels of vaccinations, and they all did the masks the longest. March 1st is when Mardi Gras takes place, around that day this year. New Orleans is going to reinstate this. It's going to be indoors, but when you go outdoors and crowd into the street shoulder to shoulder, you won't be required to wear a mask. So see, it's science. Also, Ivy League schools, including Yale and Columbia, are among 16 elite universities sued for participating in price-fixing cartels and overcharging 170,000 financial aid students, hundreds of millions over two decades. College is a scam. Kanye West is planning a trip to meet with Vladimir Putin and perform the first ever Sunday service show in Russia. That's interesting. Okay. Interesting. All right. Who knows? He's different. You're going to, I don't like Putin. That's my thing. College students are threatening a hunger strike if the voting bill isn't passed by January 17th. No one cares. Some people probably just need to lose some weight anyway. Winter of discontent. Putin may have decided against a Ukraine invasion because mild temperatures mean the ground is too muddy for Russian tanks to charge over the border, according to U.S. advisors. And half of all of Europe is expected to catch the Omicron virus within 2 months, says the World Health Organization. Coming up, preventing the tyranny of the majority with the filibuster, and the latest with vax and voting and all of that. Stick with us.
I did not walk in the shoes of generations of students who walked these grounds, but I walked other grounds because I'm so damn old, I was there as well. Hey, you think I'm kidding, man? Seems like yesterday, the first time I got arrested. Anyway.
Except, okay, so I have to break down what happened last night. I don't know, man. He is messed up. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. I'm having a problem where I have all the comments that I have all at once want to come out. If you signed up for the email newsletter, you already have this. So you saw this from early this morning. So I have these sound bites in there that were from Joe Biden. They can't go to the border, but they went to Atlanta to do some voting rights thing. Didn't they just have like the nationals there? Isn't that really bad timing? Yeah. So stupid. So he went with Kamala Harris. I guess they're talking a little bit right now. And they went down there because they wanted to scare everyone into thinking that minorities are disallowed to vote. That was what, and it was all based around the filibuster, because they want to use the filibuster to do what they want to do. They want to nationalize voting, which, as you know, is super hella bad. It's just, it's, can you imagine nationalizing voting? Chimney, no, it'd be horrible. And so, as a result of this, this speech, this theater that they carried out yesterday, it was bad. So that soundbite, he's sitting here, he's telling everyone, well, I was arrested. He's done this before. He has told people before that he was that he's been arrested. He's got this long history of claiming, bizarrely, arrests that never actually happened. Who does this stuff?
Joe Biden.
He's done this all the time. He's always talked about, well, I was arrested. The only people, I think, he was never arrested for anything. Most of the arrests probably came from Hunter. And that had nothing to do with civil rights. That had everything to do with snorting crack or snorting coke. Can you snort crack? I don't even know my drug lingo. I don't even know how one does the crack. How does that even happen? Not that I want to deep dive into that, but as I say it, I don't even know how it's done. Anyway, everything about drugs I learned from Miami Vice. I just want to let you know. Okay, that's everything I've learned about drugs I've learned from Miami Vice. Although later now I've added meth to my repository of drug knowledge, and everything I know about meth I learned from Ozark. And so there you go. All right. But so he's down there. They're down there in Atlanta and he's saying, I was arrested. He did this one time where he was fact checked by the Washington Post. Right. They fact checked him because he was lying his butt off and it didn't happen. He said that he had met Nelson Mandela and that he met Nelson Mandela and that he was arrested with the UN ambassador trying to get Nelson Mandela out of jail, except it literally never happened. He lied. I mean, even MSNBC people were saying that he lied. And then he tried to walk it back and he's like, well, when I said I was arrested, I meant I was not able to move. He goes, I guess I wasn't arrested and I was stopped. Imagine the white privilege you have of not knowing when you're actually arrested. No one put a knee on his neck, so I guess he's okay, right? He wasn't technically.
He could breathe the whole time.
Yeah. So it's so insane. So he was saying this. He was having this. I don't want to say it was not even a cognitive thing either. This is just him lying his butt off. So he says, oh, I was an activist. He said he was an activist. But can I have some flashback audio from this is when he was still somewhat in a cognitive practice. Listen to this, because there's always a video.
I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington,
okay,
Delaware.
Okay, I got to pause it already.
I was involved.
Pause it. No, we're going to restart it. Because that's the pool where the kids pet his leg hair.
Yeah.
Just to clarify. That's the pool, the infamous pool, where he went into the church or the pool's basement. Because, you know, everybody has a pool basement and a Freddy Krueger janitor in the basement that cuts chains for you. I mean, that's just, you know. So this is that pool. This is apparently the only time he's ever been around black people, because this is the only story where he talks about it that he just keeps going back to that well, or pool, I should say. Go ahead. Sorry.
In the east side of Wilmington, Delaware, I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling. I was involved, but I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else.
Well, he says he wasn't. They're marching, but in that earlier video, he said he was marching.
Yeah.
Anybody else confused? I mean, not like Biden level confused, but is anybody else confused? Okay, well, and then, oh, and it gets better. There are more receipts, don't you know? So he also at one point, because his rhetoric is ridiculous, he said at one point, he asked the crowd, do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Oh, man, there are always receipts. So as it turns out, he had actually bragged about being praised by George Wallace. Let's go back to, this is 1987, Detroit Free Press, Friday, May 1st. The headline, Sunbelt Votes Key to White House. And they were talking about the Sun Belt strategy, why Democrats are going to hold their 1988 nominating convention in Atlanta and why the Democratic National Committee is meeting in Santa Fe. And they were talking about all these power players, including Joe Biden. And interestingly enough, they mentioned Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware as he was, quote, telling Southerners that the lower half of his state is culturally part Dixie. And he reminded them that former Alabama Governor George Wallace praised him as one of the outstanding young politicians of America, end quote. Oh. Well, I guess that's... He picked George Wallace. He picked George Wallace to be like... Do you remember, too, when... And, you know, if we want to have a conversation about Wallace, which I guess, you know, he does. Do you remember also when he was talking about during the early days of the primary and they were having this whole thing about this, about segregation, and Biden was trying to rewrite history as it relates to segregation? Remember that? And then the receipts came out, and because there's always a video, Joe Biden was on camera defending segregation and then saying that the reason he opposed it is because he didn't want his kids to grow up in a racial jungle. I think Kane has that. This was crazy.
Discretion to sentence people. Flat time sentencing. You get caught, you go to jail.
We increase the penalties. For those who sell or use, increase the penalties.
This is when he was trying to rewrite his crime.
There are 70 additional enhancements of penalties, i.e.
He was as bad as Kamala Harris on crime. We'll get that. Because he had told everybody, remember, that whole, when he was defending it. So I guess, I mean, his rhetoric has been pretty Wallace-y, if you really want to have that conversation. I mean, it's been pretty Wallace-y.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Now, I don't like glitter. I don't. I'm not a glitter person. I don't like it at all. But you know that it can actually be a chargeable offense if you're throwing it at somebody? Case in point, two Florida women are in super big bad trouble, y'all, after they had a fight with a dude inside his apartment and they threw glitter all over him and everywhere else. No joke. So they're facing felony burglary charges. It was 3 a.m. Sarah Franks and Caitlin Donovan. They were at Jacob Colon's residence in Clearwater. They started an argument. They each threw a container of glitter at the victim. He got glitter all over him. And that was like cited. It was basically like a weapon. It is a weapon. Glitter's a bunch of sharp, shiny knives.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.